Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Life Full Circle, where talking points include pop culture, faith, politics, sports, entertainment, finances, and more. Your mind is too big to think about so little. And now, come full circle with Miguel Lloyd. Right, welcome to Life Full Circle Radio, and welcome to my Periscope broadcast. I'm kind of going both ways to start the show this morning. If you're watching us on Periscope, you can call in 310-807-5094. That's 310-807-5094. If this is your first time tuning in to Life Full Circle Radio, we normally go on Saturday morning. Happy Friday morning to you. Man, busy weekend coming up, and we missed the show last week, so I said, you know what, we got to jump on. And so we're going to jump into this conversation today. Obviously, I want to say what's up to my people on Periscope. What's going on, Jay Mills, Anthony Butler? I see you too, brother. Thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you guys share this broadcast. If you guys want to tune in or want to chime in on the conversation today, the phone number is 310-807-5094, 310-807-5094. This week, I wanted to talk about the weekend review. And specifically, I wanted to talk about the Million Man March, Justice or Else recap. I wanted to talk about the Dems debate. Lamar Odom is fighting addiction. We wanted to jump into that. But, you know, I've had some interesting conversations and dialogues in the course of this week about the Million Man March and Justice for Else. I was proud to be in D.C. On October 16th. 1995 for the first Million Man March. And I was so proud of that because never in my life at that point, when I was 23 years old, I had never seen that many black folks, and specifically black men, all in one place at one time, not beefing, just enjoying, loving on each other, inspiring each other, the whole nine. Now, many people say we walked away from that event. How much do we get? How much do we learn? How much accomplishments have we had following that event? You know, it's one of those things, man. It just kind of depends on who you are and who you are, who your perspective. Now, here's what we do know. 20 years later, the issues we have with police brutality, the issues we have with black-on-black crime, the issues we have with unemployment are all very prevalent right now. They continue to be prevalent right now. And so my thing is, do we continue to accentuate the negative or do we try to support the positive? Now, what I find very interesting, obviously, people who know me or if it's your first time tuning into Life or Circle Radio, I'm a Christian. I live my life the way Christ would have me live it. At least I endeavor to do that on a day-to-day basis, no question. But I do have an issue with what I experienced during the course of last week and the fact that many people had a lot of issue. Many people had a lot of issue with the fact that the Nation of Islam were behind it, more specifically, Louis Farrakhan. And so when you talk about Louis Farrakhan, a lot of people immediately clam up. For good reason. You know, there's many, obviously, the things he said, and you just got to do your research. You know, the things he said about Jews, the things that he has said about the quote-unquote white man, the things that he has even said about Malcolm X, the things he said about black leadership, all of those things are very real. No doubt about that. But what he has done, and what many, and we're going to shut the Periscope down. Make sure you guys tune in, or I may come back on in a little bit. Tune in to the podcast. No, I'm not. I'm going to keep Periscope on. Why not? So getting back to it, you know, the things that he has said are alarming, no question. I saw something even this morning when he was talking about how they dealt with Malcolm X within the Nation, and what business is it of yours? So the issues people have with Farrakhan, I recognize them. I respect the issues people have with Louis Farrakhan. But here's the issue I have with Black America and specifically the Black church as it relates to this issue. Then why won't we do something about it? Why won't we organize such an event? Why won't we get our team, our people together and say, we're going to get together and go down and petition the U.S. Capitol and say, we want the floor and take advantage of that. And then you start to have this issue with denominations. You start to have, okay, the Baptists don't want to work with the AME. The faith people and the non-denominational people don't want to have anything to do with denominations. If we are all Christians, as we know that we are, then why do we spend more time and energy supporting Donald Trump than we do a movement down on the national mall and the national spectrum? I've seen so many conversations. I've seen so many dialogues that talks about the reason why the national news didn't cover it is because of Louis Farrakhan, and it's all his fault. Well, the bottom line is whether it was a half a million this time, whether it was a million and a half 20 years ago, something about Louis Farrakhan's message is resonating. Something about the Nation of Islam's message resonates with Black people. And why is that not, why does it not resonate? Why, while that movement is continuing to have the ability to do these type of events, the Black Christian movement, you know, are not focused on this. It's the big issue that I have, and I've worked people who know me, and you may people who don't know me. I've spent a lot of time, you know, not only from the age of 9 and 10 years old, serving in youth leadership in my church growing up. I've always been in and around churches. Then I got into the business of ministry over the course of the last 10 years. Always been in and around churches. And what I find is that a lot of the traditional AME Baptists are more focused on, they are a lot more focused on social justice issues than the faith movement, Kojic movements, things that are a little bit more of the prosperity-based philosophies. And I believe that there is an issue with that, in that you there's got to be a balance. And this particular event that happened down in D.C. last week was all about social justice. And the folks who are the faith-based people, faith-based, which I am a part of that community, we dropped the ball on that, period. Say what you want to say, we dropped the ball. For us not to have a level of involvement in that is to me a problem. Now, there are very close friends of mine in ministry that are clutching the pearls right now. They are upset that I would even think of saying something to that effect. Still love you without question, but the bottom line is what he did down there, what the Nation of Islam did, and what they did 20 years ago, and what they did last week is something that we need to get involved in some way, shape, or fashion. Jamal Bryant, who is a pastor, AME pastor out of Baltimore, has been showing his commitment to this, and he's been doing it for years. His city obviously very hard hit this past summer with everything that went on. So that's part of what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the Democratic debate. We're going to talk about Lamar Odom and his situation. He is still battling right now. He's on life support. They say he's had a stroke or two. He's just in bad shape. And then, of course, you know, I found it very interesting this past week. Donald Trump was surrounded by some real giants in the faith community, Kenneth Copeland and Paula White and Jensen Franklin and some others. To some people, that means nothing. To many people, that means a lot. The names I just called out, they will support Donald Trump, who has said some very inflammatory things about Hispanics, has never really shown any sort of empathy to people of color, has never really shown any sort of desire to help people who are downtrodden, who are poor. He is all about winning. And as our religious community, for you to encapsulize and support him and say, well, maybe, you know, maybe we're just praying for them. Well, where are the pictures, where are the images of the Paula Whites, the Kenneth Copelands, the people on the religious right surrounding President Obama and praying for him? We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to get into the conversation. We're bringing my man O. We're going to dig into this conversation. You listen to Life on Circle Radio and watching us on Periscope.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
blogtalkradio.com/lifefullcircle.
And welcome back to Life Full Circle Radio. If you're checking us out on Periscope or have checked us out on Periscope, we're trying to start one back up before the show is out. Let me bring in my man Big O. What's up, partner?
Look, bro, don't Periscope me right now. I'm having that moment. It's a Slick Rick album. It was the moment up here.
Why did you say that?
I text you and pulled out of the driveway, get a half a block out the house. Feel a car runs funny. I see I got a slow link on the rear back left. Go to the other side, got a complete flat on the right tire. So,
oh wow,
my adversary, he got me this morning. So I had to run back and snatch the wife's car.
All right. Well, you do what you got to do. If you got to drop off, we got it. But while I got you, though, as I mentioned today, we're going to talk about the main man recap. Let's start with that. What was your take on what went down last weekend?
Look, man, I was there for the original, didn't make this one. I'm not going to knock the message. The message is important. I support those that did go down there. You met one of what I have very few people that I call icons and legends. And the person that you posted some social media about this week, that's somebody that needs to be there. I still love the fact that Farrakhan.
Dr. Claude Anderson. Let's make sure we drop in so people know who you're talking about. Dr. Claude Anderson, you're exactly right. So much wrong this week. Go ahead.
Claude Anderson, Jim Klingman, these are people that I really, really enjoy because their messages are unique. And Claude Anderson says something, and he's very frank with it. So to want to uplift and to respect yourself does not mean that you hate anyone else. See, too many times as black folks, we want to incorporate everyone. We want to say, you know, people of color, brown people, everything else. No, right now, everybody else can help themselves, and I'm not saying that we disregard them, but we have to be selfish when it comes to our own uplifting. And Farrakhan says some things, but then he puts in a religious perspective, and this is one of the things that you talked about previously. I think we still can't get over the mere fact that if you love your God, regardless of what you call him, that you're a God-fearing person. Whether Christianity is that vehicle, whether it's Islam, Buddhism, or any other forms of religion, if you're a God-fearing person, you're a God-fearing person. Black folks will separate, flip the dining room table over, start throwing the mashed potato and knives if we don't get down with the same, you know, spirituality. And we're still divided in that. So kind of wrong. And then, too, with Farrakhan, you know, he folks don't like his outright verbalism when it comes to people who call themselves Jews. He's very critical of a lot of Jewish people. Being critical doesn't mean that he hates them. No, it doesn't mean he hates them, but he's publicly critical. And when a lot of black people aren't publicly critical, and so, you know, if you're publicly critical of that particular group, you can get yourself into trouble. So some black folks say, look, I don't disagree with you, but publicly I don't need to be around you. So you get that whole feel of things, man. But, I mean, the gist of it all, 20 years back in the saddle, I wish I could have been there. But quite honestly, I don't feel comfortable with where we are as a militarized society, where we are as a technological society now, and that all of us come together in big congregations like that. Like, now it's time to be cerebral and strategic. We need to be, as my kids would say, we need to be mutants. You know, we need to be in the room and you not even know we're in the room. And then 10 years later, you start to see a bud of the flower that we seeded 6-7 years prior. That's what we need to start doing.
It's definitely harvest time. You know, one thing I've got to – here's the thing about Louis Farrakhan, and I don't really think he cares. Obviously, he's 82 years old. He's been out here for 50-plus years, probably more. Farrakhan has got a very, very complicated relationship with black people. This guy is a tremendous leader, obviously, but – He doesn't hide the fact that if you didn't have something to do with the execution, the assassination of Malcolm X, he definitely supports what happened. We can say he doesn't hate all Jews, but the words out of his mouth in different occasions. And one thing about Louis Farrakhan is not hyperbole. You can search YouTube and you can look at Louis Farrakhan making some pretty inflammatory comments about Jews, about Malcolm X, about the white man. Very easy to pull that stuff up. But then I'm always the type of guy who always likes to look at the fruit. And the fruit of many people who I know who are members of the Nation of Islam, for the most part, most of those people that I know on some levels are positive people. There are men who take care of their wives. They take care of their children. They work every day. They're entrepreneurially spirited. They're very much about black community, very much about black upliftment. And so when I look at those things, I kind of get into the mindset of you got to eat the meat and spit out the bones. And now, with that said, have no intentions, have no desire to be a member of the Nation of Islam. But I respect people who follow it. Now, ultimately, you know, my faith says they're wrong. My faith says Jesus is Lord. But I can't get stuck on that and get paralyzed in a conversation, because when the debate comes to me and the conversation comes to me and says Christianity is what broke up the black community and what broke up the black family and what destroyed it, Christianity, slave traders, the KKK, they all profess Christianity. Yes, they did. Absolutely. And they converted the message of Jesus Christ. That is what the truth is. And so how do we manage to say we're still going to be Christians, but we're going to find a way to almost ignore those parts of our history. The truth is, you just go to the Word of God and you understand that Christ was condemned. Obviously, he wasn't a Christian. He is Christ. So, but he was condemned for his beliefs. And so my thing is, instead of us complaining about it, instead of us denouncing, do it ourselves. Go down there and petition the Congress. Go down there and petition whoever it is, the federal Parks and Rec, and say we want to get our space at the U.S. Capitol, and we're going to get all folks who are of Christian faith and who are black, and we're going to do an event which is going to be similar. Because here's the thing that I also understand, I believe I understand about Louis Farrakhan. Louis Farrakhan is a hurt leader because he believes that he has opened his arms up to Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and Justice Sorrell and Black Lives Matter and all of these different movements and people, but they don't offer him the same invitations on the other side. And a lot of that has to do with fear. Arsenio Hall's show was shut down after he brought Louis Farrakhan on his show. Shut down, done. He wasn't back on television for 20-plus years.
His career was shut down, man. His career was shut down.
Absolutely. And so with that being the case, you know, if you're so afraid of a lot of Louis Farrakhan, here's what I do believe. If a black Christian group put together an event such as this, Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam would support it.
Oh, yeah.
And that is where the difference lies for me. And that's where there is an issue that I have is that ultimately we as Black people are trying to be uplifted and trying to gain control of our own destiny. And that's where I think that the Nation of Islam publicly, from a social justice standpoint, takes more of a public stance. Some, you know, there's less, and I don't think it's fear-based, you know. I read less negative comments about people, about the Nation of Islam and Louis Farrakhan than I do about Creflo Dollar. You know what I'm saying? So if Black folks got a whole lot of negative to say about Creflo Dollar, and these are Christians talking about other Christians, but you don't have much of anything to say about Louis Farrakhan negative, then what am I missing?
Right.
So, like I said, I've got some folks in the faith who, you know, who post on my timeline, and we get in different discussions about it. So, you know, I'm interested to see how to move forward with that. We'll keep that conversation going. Go ahead, jump in.
Funny stuff with what you say, because here's the thing: as Black people, right? Like, we are constantly evolving as Black people, but we're evolving as a society as well. We're finding out the things that we grew up on just ain't pure facts. You know, we've acknowledged, we went over maps before. Folks are understanding that it's not the conspiracy theorists saying that, you know, long before the Egyptians, there were other societies. This planet is billions of years old, right? There was a belief once upon a time that the Earth was the center of the universe. That's not the case. They used to tell us that the sun stood still and the Earth and the planets just revolved around the sun. Now they're telling us the fact that the sun moves, you know, that the whole galaxy moves. So, and we're finding tales. And what I go to say to that is we don't have all the answers. Like, as Black people, we'll lock on to some information that we grew up on, whether it's our religion, whether it's some historical stuff, and that's just it. You know, we all didn't come here. Our ancestors ain't all come here as slaves. There were people that were here. You know, it's like, so when we get new information, and we've said this time and time again, the intellectuals, they piss me off. There's no other way to say it. It's like, we get information, we don't share it, and we just hold old grudges, you know. Farrakhan's 82 years old, but right now, to put it frankly, he's one of the few Black men that will publicly go out there, and as you mentioned, try to get along to be along. And heaven knows that his gravy ain't all brown. And what I mean by that is he is littered with flaws. But he's trying to pull folks together. Like, if we don't want to get together, there's no need to complain about it. There's no need to complain about it. That group of whether they were preachers, and I know you drop names and you have more knowledge on this stuff, if they want to go and hang out with Donald Trump and so on and so forth, that's a clear message. That's a clear message right there.
Right. That's an economic
clear,
call.
You're not down with Black economics. You're down with just pure economics of the greedy.
Sure. Because the first meeting, there were two meetings that were publicized. One, as I mentioned, featured Paula White and Kenneth Copeland and Jensen Franklin and there's some other people in the room I can't remember right now. And during that conversation, it was actually a Jewish leader in there too. I think it was a rabbi that was in the room as well. Now, after that exchange, somebody within that group prayed, it might have been Paula White, that prayed that more Black ministries, more Black pastors would pray for Donald Trump. Pray is dog whistle, and you know, within the faith community. It means support in this scenario.
Yeah.
Now, if it was a situation where they were calling for praying for all leaders, like, for example, my Bishop George Davis talked about praying for all leaders, whether it be Democrats, Republicans, whether it be, you know, George Bush or Barack Obama or whoever, he's going to talk about praying for that. That's leadership. That's the leadership that should be coming from out of the Christian church. But for you to spend this time and say, now I'm going to pray that more Black ministries will support Donald Trump. And then a week later, a group of ministers here in Atlanta, I didn't recognize anybody in the room, but I'm sure there's people who will, they got together and did the same thing. And they prayed for Donald Trump and stood with him. What does this boil down to? From a ministry standpoint, ministry business was much better when George Bush was in office for his 8 years. Industry business has not been as good under President Barack Obama for a variance of reasons. A lot going on. Our economy is in bad shape. Has Barack Obama been someone who stood out there and stood out front for Christian values? Publicly, he said he's a Christian, and for me, that's good enough. But other people will say, well, look what he has supported. Look what his administration. We start talking about gay marriage, and we start talking about the conversation centered around abortion and all of that. You know, President Barack Obama is a man, and he has spent the last 6 years, 7 years, with a Congress that has refused to work with him. And so let's not just put it all on Barack Obama as being the issue, that the challenges that we have within the Christian community, because if that's the case, then you would think that the religious right would encourage the Congress, which is supported supposedly on Christian values, to work with this president, to find ways to work with him. And so, you know, so what is my point? My point is that the religious right has shown that it is less of a faith organization and much more of a political organization. It is all about power. And if you doubt me, why in the world would you come out at this point in this process and publicly support Donald Trump? This isn't about Jesus. This is about he's the winner. He is right now perceived as being the winner of the lot, because when you talk about the religious community, there's only two people in this conversation on the right who openly are supporting religious views, and that's Donald Trump, and then the other one is the former Mayor Huckabee of Arkansas. And he's just flat out said some really nutty things over the course. He's always said nutty things, but of course, in the course of the last this particular election cycle, just some absolutely inflammatory things that makes him just not electable. And so Donald Trump, you look at Trump and you say Trump shouldn't be electable because he's basically a TV star. You know, he doesn't have any idea what he's going to do when it comes down to have to deal with a Putin or you know, dealing in any sort of foreign affairs or, you know, things of that nature. He's a person who's a businessman. He knows how to make money. And this is not, politics is not always about making money. It's the art of negotiation. And if you think the art of negotiation is that you take my deal, it's the best, or you suck, which is Donald Trump's position, then that is a challenge for our nation. And so, but the fact that he's now a serious contender, the fact that his second, you know, the one who's right behind him, Bishop Ben Carson, he's a very bright gentleman, obviously someone to highly respect. But I think he has done a lot of kowtowing to what the religious right and what the far right wants him to say. It's hard for me to believe he believes a lot of things he's saying. But, you know, it's just very interesting where we are. Phone lines over 310-807-5094. That's 310-807-5094. We'd love to hear from you. You want to jump in? We're only doing about an hour today, just based on man, we all working. we got a full day. Let's switch gears a little bit, man. And we'll come back to anybody who's calling. Want to talk about what we've been talking about? We're just very honest, right? Feel free. 310-807-5094. Let's jump into the conversation about Lamar Odom. We both obviously started our broadcast with the sports, love sports, and know it well. But this particular conversation about Lamar Odom is less about sports as it is much more about addiction and much more about just personal inner strength. This brother is troubled. There's no doubt about it that this brother is, and we watched it. He was one of the best basketball players in the league for the 10 or 12 years he was in the league. Unique, 6'11", ball handling skills, left-handed. You know, that last run that the Lakers had, they don't win it without Lamar Odom. And so, you know, it troubled me when he was released from the Lakers. He obviously wanted to be in L.A. Then when the Kardashian marriage happened, I questioned that, because no matter as great as a basketball player as he was, when you start to understand him and his personal persona and understood his history, his father who died, I believe, of a heroin overdose when he was 12 years old, his mother having challenges, you know, the brother was troubled. And now he is fighting for his life at 35 years old from a drug, basically it looked like an apparent drug overdose. I just really, really feel for this brother. And I kind of, and my question is, when it comes down to Lamar Odom, is that when you watch, when you see social media, and what they're saying, and this has no sympathy, empathy for people. And we seem to believe that celebrities have perfect lives, and they don't have perfect lives. They're people. They're just people with more money in a lot of cases. And what ends up happening is that your flaws get magnified with the more money that you receive. And that brother has just not dealt well with his lifestyle, especially post basketball. It's just hard. It's just hard to watch.
Look, man, I go back to, what is it, Bill Roden's book, $40 Million Slave. We love our sports, but we fail to realize, just as you mentioned, that these are humans. They're human beings. A lot of them come back from some real rough lifestyles, and they get thrown into lifestyles that are the 180-degree opposite to what they know. And just because you get money, if you don't have that financial savvy, you're in trouble. I mean, one of the shows that I enjoy right now, believe it or not, is Survivor's Remorse, that plays on Cinemax, what kind of gives a humorous side to what happens to an athlete, and how do you get pulled in all different directions once you get money and you're playing professional sports. Lamar Odom is being outright disrespected by the mere fact that people fail to realize who he was as an athlete, that he's some type of side piece, or to use my Philly acronym, some side joiner to the Kardashian family. And that's not who he was. He's an NBA champion. You talk about one of these gifted athletes, and everyone that's in the league has an extreme skill set, but he was a pure skill set of this 6'11", as you mentioned, softball, guard-like skills that can move around. He had problems coming out of high school, ended up at Rhode Island, and then from Rhode Island made his way to L.A. and played with the Clippers and eventually linked up with Kobe and your group of assassins and won some rings. But to be in a brothel house, spending that kind of money, drugs, as you said earlier in the monologue, he's had a stroke. There's questions as to whether he's responsive with his brain right now. It's sad, man. It's really sad. But it's like the story keeps getting told over and over again. We just change the characters.
Right, right, right. In Master P, the rapper from the 90s, he comes out and he makes his comments and statements about the situation, and basically Kobe's fake, the Kardashians are fake, why didn't Kobe just get him back on the Lakers team? Come on, man. It's not that easy. And we're all upset, and we're all struggling, and obviously his relationship is not our relationship. We're related to the man as a fan. Master P said he was right there with him, and that he's known him and mentored him for 15 years. So I respect his pain that he is dealing with as a friend. But come on, man, say what you want to say about Kobe Bryant. We all know people like Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant is the lovable mean guy. And we'll use that language. He's the dude that if you in his circle, he cool as a fan with you. He'll love on you. But if you outside of his circle, he ain't gonna show you no love. And you just have to respect that. And to me, Lamar, for him to leave a game, not for him to leave a game, take off his uniform and go to the hospital immediately, shows me that ain't fake. And one thing that I can say that I believe about Kobe Bryant, I never thought, if I ever thought he was phony, if he was better at being a phony, more people would like him. And so that I believe that was a low blow. There was something, and I'm going to try to find it. I can play it for you guys, but people may not have heard it. D.L. Hughley on his radio show, he talked about specifically people battling addiction. And someone in his own family who was battling addiction. I want you guys to listen to this because it's very telling. Hold on a second.
and they get a little bit of that stuff. Anybody who can deal with anybody who has a substance abuse problem knows you cannot pray, cry, talk, guilt, give, anything. You, let me get you something. And this is a personal expert. I have a cousin who I love like my last breath. My last breath. Anybody who knows me knows how much I love. You give him money. You give him opportunity. You give him hope. Just please, man, be right. I loved him so much, I was a fool for me. Anybody who knows me knows me. This dude could steal from me. He had, I don't know how many times in the middle of the night, I'm going to a dope dealer's house. The reason he ain't with me now, because I had to pay off a dope dealer that's going to kill him. That's the only reason he ain't with me now. And I had to go in an IHOP on Sepulveda Boulevard at the airport with a police who guarded me, making a dope deal for a dude I love just because I love him. And he didn't, he said, and he still, with all the stuff you do for people, they still can't give it up. So when you make the inference that somebody, all he want to do is play basketball, all he want to do is get high. That's all. You can't pray, try taking something from somebody that they got to have. I ain't talking about got to. How many mothers got stuff stolen from men, and then the next day they in that church on their knees praying about that man? How many women are with a man hoping? So you can't, it ain't just you doing something. At a certain point, they got to participate. Let me tell you something. Here's the real truth. Kobe was dealing with his own devil. We all got our own devil. If you take on, your devils don't take time off from you so you can deal with somebody else. Your devils don't go, hey, man, let's pause for a minute and let this dude. Devils get together. You ain't going to stop having to be you to deal with somebody else. It's unfortunate these things happen. But to deny that they in some ways have a responsibility to want to get better. That you can't, how many people right now, whether it's a woman you love, a man you love, I love this dude like he stole my daughter's CS2. Everybody knew he did it, and I pretended like he did it. And was going to argue with you to tell me. He made me look bad for my woman, for my children, and I loved him that much. And I knew what he was doing, but I just wanted him to get better. So you can tell me that you can't tell people what they did for somebody else. Because the result isn't what you want it to be, doesn't mean nobody loved him or didn't try, or didn't get him on the team, or didn't do this. That doesn't mean that at all. At a certain point, people, when you're rich and you don't go to rehab because you're not ready to yet, that's the truth. And the truth of the matter is, you can love, pray, cry, scream, hope. That don't do it. If it did, if angels can't pray, if angels can't take a bottle or a pipe out of somebody's hand, you can't. And it's ridiculous to put the onus on someone else. Because all of us, what that says is that you didn't do enough. How many people right now get that call that somebody's in jail and are relieved that they ain't dead? That you at least know where they are. That's what we need. That's who we are. That's our community. And you can't pretend like it doesn't happen. It doesn't affect anybody. You know what else is addictive? Guilt. I could have done. I wish I had done. I tell you what, I love him like my last step. I swear to God I do. And it's everything I could do sometimes to not be with him. But it wasn't good for him and it wasn't good for me. Sometimes this is a process. But let me tell you something. Here's the truth of the matter. It ends this way. Somebody dead or in jail. That's all that happens. Either they get better with this prayer, they go to jail, or they get dead. And you left the thing at the people. And it's insulting to tell someone they didn't do something when you wasn't there every day. You got to still live. You still got your devils to deal with. It's ridiculous to make some casual observation like that. You, Master P had a brother that went to jail. Somebody could say, where were you? You don't make these kinds of decisions or statements about somebody when you have no idea what they did and how they fought and what happened. It is a tragedy what happened, but the lesson is we should all learn something from it. Sometimes doing all you can do ain't enough.
There it is. D.L. Hughley on his afternoon radio show. Getting it in, and it's truth, man. Addiction is addiction is not just drugs. Addiction is not just alcohol. I got boys who are addicted to women who just can't get right. They just cannot. They hashtag can't get right because they just can't decide to just chill with one woman. That's their addiction. And so, man, listen, you know, and hey, my faith says that I'm going to continue to pray for Lamar Odom. I know DL kind of challenged that a little bit, and that's okay. That's his perspective. But, oh, man, I just, you know, I think Master P should go ahead and sit on down. And the thing about it is when TMZ caught him in the parking lot and he was getting his groceries and he was talking, that felt organic. There's another video out there, I haven't even clicked on it, where he's somewhere sitting, it looks like a studio somewhere, and he's going in further about it. Now who's the opportunist? You said your piece, sit down somewhere, and let's pray for Lamar Odom and pray he comes out of this thing and he comes out of this thing better for it. The fact that I think I saw that the Kardashian family immediately jumped up and they flew and got to his bedside, you know, there's something to be said for that. No doubt about it. And so, you know, that's something. But, you know, let's just love on that brother and just keep it moving. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to, like I said, we're going a little bit shorter show today. We're going to wrap up our show in the last 10 to 12 minutes. You're listening to Life and Soap Radio. Welcome back to Life with Soca Radio. We've been talking today about the Million Man March recap, Justice or Else, hosted by Louis Farrakhan. We've gotten into a conversation, some conversation about that, a little bit of the conversation about fighting addiction, something Lamar Odom is dealing with right now. We want to make sure we keep that brother lifted up in prayer. Hopefully he'll make it out of this thing and be a testimony on the other side on the power of God and the power of redemption. Did you watch the Democratic debate the other night? Oh, did we lose you? No, you're traveling over there. When I watched the Democratic debate, it was very interesting. I believe that not much came out of it as far as any changes. I think that what we recognize is that Hillary Clinton is the clear front runner. I believe that they were probably trying to establish themselves to see who was going to be possibly a running mate. I think that one thing I can say about Bernie Sanders, I see why people love Bernie Sanders. I don't think he is electable. I definitely believe he has a tremendous value to our government and to our process. Hopefully that if he does not get elected, hopefully he'll be involved in the cabinet in some way, shape, or form. But did you get a chance to check out the debate the other night?
Yeah, I caught the tail end of it, and as you mentioned, it was nothing but a high profile for Hillary. Uncle Bernie's just that. Like, Bernie's the realest person that's there for the most part, but Bernie isn't electable from a quote unquote. But I have a problem. You know, I'm no fan of Hillary Clinton. I think this is a very poor presidential election, period, when you look at all of the candidates. To me, I think something else is involved in this, because previous history tells us there was always a sure shot candidate on both sides bringing some strong values. To me, Hillary, just because you're the most polished shoe in my shoe closet doesn't mean you're the most comfortable shoe, you know. And she doesn't touch all bases for me. The other folks that are there on the Democratic Democratic side aren't bringing anything. You got the former governor of Virginia. He's not really well known on a national landscape. He did do tenure, but man, we're in a sad state politically. I mean, going back to the black preachers with Donald Trump, the Democratic side, all we have is Hillary. No one else is there. I hate to say it, but you know, we need our man Uncle Joe to come from Delaware to at least make this thing interesting to push her.
Yeah, I've heard people who have issue with that. And here's what scares me about Joe Biden. Joe Biden is strong enough and has enough of a following and has the ability to top his experience with President Obama in the last 8 years. But I believe that just right now, I believe that Joe Biden presents more opportunities for the Republicans to win than Hillary Clinton. And some people say, well, what's wrong with the Republicans winning? Well, the field that's there right now, where the primary choices, the primary choice that the right seems to be supporting is Donald Trump. That's actually pretty frightening because this country with a Donald Trump as president is pretty scary. But to your point, I'm not sold at all on Hillary Clinton. Not at all. O'Malley is interesting. I just don't think enough people are really paying attention to him, and we don't know enough about him yet. Like I said, Bernie Sanders is very interesting, but the fact that he is a self-proclaimed socialist and has no intentions of removing that moniker and wears it proudly is something that people are just going to be challenged to even think about going against the grain against a Bernie Sanders.
Right.
So, man, brother, you're exactly right. Well, I have probably not paid more attention to politics than over the course of the last 10 years. And what I see right now is very scary.
It's beyond alarming. We're moving into a state now to where these guys and one woman, you know, my biggest qualm in politics, I think the whole process needs to be rewritten completely. I don't think that in this day and age, and here's the thing that Bernie's doing, even in his age, being up there in his 70s, nobody's touching the millennial generation. Nobody's reaching out to the Generation X. Baby boomers, you've had your time. So this election isn't about you, you know. The older generation that are there, the seniors and everything else, hey, guess what? We love you for what you contributed to society, but this ain't about you either. This election should be about how do we move forward, right? Find me a progressive politician, whether it be it, he or she, Democrat, Republican, or Independent. You can't find me anybody that's talking about moving forward. Huckabee and his nonsense in Arkansas, trying to take it back to what it was in the 50s. We're not going back to the 50s. We're not going back to the 60s. Reagan has been dead and in a box. We're not going back to the 80s. How are we going to move forward? Because Africa, for as bad as it looks, has better highways than we have in the United States. China, for whatever political and social issues they have a better transportation system than the United States, and all the jobs are there. Nobody's telling us what the plan is. Our colleges are broke. Our medical system is broke. We know our political system. We should just give them guns, man. Like, we should make it a Tom and Jerry cartoon at the Capitol building and just shoot each other. If you don't want to sign gun laws, then, you know, I heard somebody say this, and it was funny, but I had to agree. If you don't want to sign gun laws, and take off these semi-automatic weapons and all of this stuff that's out of control, then we give you a bunch of guns. And when you disagree, take it back to the old West, count seven steps, turn around and shoot. Whoever stands, your law passes. Hey, that's how I feel about it, bro. I hate to sound smug, but it's it's annoying. Like, give us a candidate. Give us a candidate. You couldn't groom somebody to be a mayor of a city, to be a congressperson, unless they have financial backing to get them there. So we're not getting the best candidates. We're getting the best campaigners, but we're not getting the best candidates for our political offices across the United States, and i.e., look at the problems that you see. Look at the educational system in Atlanta. Look at Philadelphia. Look at Virginia. You got white folks in West Virginia hate black people, and they don't even see black people on a regular basis, but they hate us because of what they've been told in the images. You got black people living in poverty and thinking that this is what it is because they don't want to do any better because they don't know any better, and that's supposed to be the status quo. How do we move forward, bro?
Yeah, it's a great question. We move forward first by remaining vigilant. We move forward by continuing to challenge ourselves. Eat the meat, spit out the bones. I'm sorry, I have not found an individual that I support, read, listen to, view videos that is 100% right about everything. That person does not exist. That person does not exist. And so, as you mentioned, and you got to give a shout out to Dr. Claude Anderson, who was, as you mentioned, who wrote the book Powernomics, and I'm going to dig into that book. I have not read it yet and heard much about it, but when I saw the man and spent some time with him, I was so intrigued, invigorated, encouraged. With that said, Brother Anderson is up on the stage still using words like sissy, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now, he's 70-something years old probably. And in his day, when he was in his 20s, 30s, and 40s, it was okay to use the word sissy. It's not okay to use the word sissy anymore. It's not okay to use words like midgets anymore. But am I going to shut my brain down and not hear this man because of his flaws? His flaws in language. He needs to be challenged. He needs to understand that that's just not cool. But that wasn't the time and place to do it. You know,
right.
He's got too much to offer. Too much is going to it is about betterment of our community to sit up here and get roadblocked by something like that. And so there's plenty of flaws in my game. There's plenty of flaws. Plenty of flaws in who I am. But my heart says this has got to be, you know, Life Full Circle Radio, My Word Central, Lord Media Group, my family, my children, my wife has got to all be about the upliftment of humanity. And at the same time, when people got their foot on my neck, I'm not going to sit there and let you twist your boot on my neck.
Right.
And if I see my brother over here who has the same situation, you better watch your back because I'm pushing you off that man's neck if it's somebody that I know and love and deserves an opportunity to do something. Because in essence, you know, I had a post that just, you know, came to my brain the other day, and I just said, basically paraphrasing, it's amazing to me how much people will fight over 100% of nothing instead of finding ways to share and collaborate and build. Because the enemy, the economists, the Donald Trumps of the world, they don't do this stuff on their own. Donald Trump goes and finds other people money to buy those places and then cuts his deal, pays them people back, whether he's going to pay them people back or don't pay them at all, but he rest assured he's going to keep his. That's his business. That's what people do. It's dirty. It feels just clammy. It feels disgusting, right? But you don't have to be that way. You can go into a deal and broker a deal and say, okay, here's the number. You did 30%, I did 70%. You agree? Yes, we both agree. We signed the contract. We keep it moving. There's other situations where you brought somebody to the deal and you might keep 20% and that person keeps 80% because you don't have the talent to get it done. You just have the talent to broker the deal. Be okay with that. Bottom line, we have to be okay with collaborating. We have to be okay. And if someone brings you to the table, don't be quick to get that first deal but then want to work around the person who brought it to the table. It's unethical. And from the standpoint of us building a community and building an economy, that's why we continue to lose. Man, if you listen to this show enough times, you know. This show is called Life Full Circle for a reason. Because all of this stuff is a part of who we are. Our family, our faith, our pocketbooks, our economy, our businesses, our sports, our entertainment, our pop culture, it's all a circle. All a circle. And if you think that you just running in one direction and this other stuff is not happening around you, you're fooling yourself. You can have the most successful business in the world, but your daughter's out here running the streets and can't keep her pants up because you don't have any idea what's going on in pop culture. No one's saying you got to give in to pop culture, but rest assured, unless you're going to take everything from them and shield your children from the media and shut them out and don't sit in the school every day and just make them a hermit, they will know who Amber Rose is. They will know who Kim Kardashian is. But your job is to educate them, have a discussion about it, and not turn a blind eye. That's what our job is.
Right.
Our job is to take a conversation involving Louis Farrakhan and understand where's the meat in this conversation? Where is the meat when it comes down to Louis Farrakhan? The meat is this man is about black empowerment. He is about being self-sufficient. He is about family. He is about men playing their roles in their family, women playing role in their family. You got black women who take umbrage with the fact that Louis Farrakhan publicly said he believed Jay-Z to try to get Beyonce, his wife, to wear less revealing clothes. Do I have an issue with that? No. I don't. My wife is an extremely bright, strong, opinionated woman. Self-sufficient. But when it comes down to putting on her clothes, she'll come to me and say, "Sweetheart, is this okay? Is this too revealing?" Most of the time, it's not even close to being too revealing. But that's the respect that a spouse is supposed to have for a spouse. Because when she walks out of this house, she's representing me and the entire family. And for people who have an issue with that, which many people do, mostly feminists do, it's a problem. And we don't even realize it is a problem. So our man, eat the meat, spit out the bones, man. We got to make sure we understand. Am I following Louis Farrakhan? No, but as Chuck D said 25 years ago, don't tell me that you understand until you hear the man.
Right.
Because it's all about all of these drops and all of the video you can pull. He gives you plenty of material for you to understand. He can be considered an anti-Semite. He has issues with white folks. He has his problem. We know he has something to do, if not directly, indirectly, or supports the assassination of Malcolm X. No doubt. Can't even deny it. But what I do know is that 20 years ago, he got a million people, million plus. Our argument was probably a million and a half 20 years ago. Primarily black men to get together down in that mall in Washington D.C. And he did it again here last week. And I challenge black Christian leaders: let's stop talking about it. What are we going to do about it? We're down. Lord Media Group, we're down to get involved in any way that we can to make something happen. And on that note, God bless. We'll talk to you all next week. You've been listening to Life for Surfer Radio.